You've been listening to Paradigms, the radio show and podcast that brings you inspiring people with visions of a viable future for life on Earth that includes humans.
Portland on 90.7 FM, K2H2BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Can't get good reception of KBOO on your radio? Just type in www.kboo.fm on your PC or laptop and click on Listen Live. We're just a mouse click away.
KBOO.
Welcome to the KBOO Global Sales Show this evening. My name is TK Kapura and I'm your host this evening. If you just joined us, thank you for listening in and welcome. You're listening to Global Sales Show on KBOO Portland. And before we dive into our interview, I want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. You can do that by going to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to 44321. So tonight, we take you to Eastern Europe. As most of us know, immigrants and refugees come from any spot across the world. Immigration remains a hot topic and it touches millions of people. As we speak right now, some are being displaced. It's such a sad picture that every moment something is happening somewhere across the world. And friends, neighbors, acquaintances get impacted by the hour, by the day. So this evening, our special guest is Maria Klimenko from Ukraine. She's based here in Portland, Oregon. Without stealing her thunder, I'm just going to give you the space to introduce yourself. Maria, welcome to the Global Sales Show. Will you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Thank you, TK. Thank you for having me. Hi, everyone. Maria Klimenko. I'm a former refugee from Ukraine. I came here in 1994 and very excited to be here.
Thank you, Maria. For those just joining us this evening, we'll be making a tour. Our Global Sale will be going to Ukraine. We want to understand the situation and the culture in Ukraine. We also want to understand a little bit more about the ongoing war in Ukraine. So our guest Maria Klimenko will shed some light on what she knows and what she understands and what she has heard about Ukraine based on her lived experience and their connections with the people back home in Ukraine. So for warm up, I'm going to start you with a song. It's a very popular song from Ukraine. It's called 1944 by Jamala.
Killed. of good. Where is your mind? Humanity cries. You think you are God, but everyone dies. Don't swallow my soul. Our souls.
Was quite a very moving piece from Ukraine. I'm going to ask Maria, can you please, Maria, break down the story behind this song to
yes.
help our listeners?
Thank you, TK. I'd love to. So Jamala is actually an artist from the Crimea. She is part Armenian and part belonging to an indigenous group of Crimean Tatars. And this song, 1944, refers to the forced deportation of Crimean Tatars under the Soviet Union. So when it was regained from the Axis powers, during this forced deportation, it's estimated that between 18 to 46% of the Ukrainian indigenous Crimean Tatar population perished in that forced deportation. So this song is actually about an act of genocide. So in this was performed during the Eurovision contest. This was Ukraine's official selection in 2016. And for those of you who may know, in 2014, Russia annexed this area of Ukraine, where a lot of indigenous Tatars still don't accept that annexation. So it was also important for timing in terms of this renewed resistance to Russian occupation. And a lot of people, I think, still don't understand that we have indigenous populations within Ukraine and obviously other parts of Eastern Europe. The chorus of this song is in the Crimean indigenous Tatar language.
Oh, thank you so much for that clear explanation. For those just joining us, this was Maria Klimenko, our guest this evening, explaining a song named 1944 by the group Jamala. So this evening we want to hear everything about Ukraine that we can get hold of. We want to walk in the communities and on the streets in Ukraine. We need to feel the social temperatures of Ukraine so we can understand what makes Ukraine unique or special on the global map. We also want to understand the way Ukrainians look at life. What is the idea of life like? We want to be invited to their current issues for informed and better understanding and empathy. We also want to visit their spaces of comfort and common ground. We want to experience their food, their music, their thoughts, their feelings, and their perceptions. So in the studio tonight with Maria, I'm going to lead her into some questions. Then we have deep conversations as she shares her life experiences. So without further ado, I'm going to ask Maria, would you please tell our audience where Ukraine is in terms of geography, and which countries or nations border Ukraine?
Sure. So Ukraine shares borders with Russia. It's mm-hmm. also on the Black Sea, so on the other side of Georgia. Other neighbors include Poland, Bulgaria, and Romania, as well as Hungary.
Oh, thank you. Why would Ukraine be such an area of interest to Russia?
So Ukraine, actually Kiev, is much older than Russia by several hundred years. It was the ancient capital of what was called Kievan Rus, mm-hmm. which was then later invaded by the Mongol Empire under Genghis Khan. So it's been nestled between various different empires, including the Austro-Hungarian Empire and the Russian Empire. So during several of these historical periods, it has a lot of experience fighting for its own survival and culture in the context of these other empires mm-hmm. Trying to incorporate Ukraine into its own population. For Hitler, it was also a very important destination point because it's one of the world's largest producers of wheat. So it was called the breadbasket of Europe. Mm-hmm. And during the time of World War II, Hitler had his sights on capturing Ukraine because it meant capturing this large amount of wheat production.
Oh, great. That's great to know. So can you briefly describe this current situation about the war in Ukraine? What's the latest now, in as far as you know?
So for those of you who might not have been following the news, last February, Russia invaded in an unprovoked act of aggression, a full-scale war against Ukraine. There, of course, have been other acts of aggression, like I mentioned, 2014 annexation of Ukraine, as well as other eastern parts of the country. So although a lot of people refer to the war in Ukraine as starting last year, Ukraine and Russia have been at war for the last 8 years over the Donbas and other parts of eastern Ukraine regions. And this is pretty regular behavior for Russia, because if you look at a lot of its former neighbors or parts of the Soviet Union, they have also annexed parts of Georgia. They occupy a part of Belarus and Moldova. So this continuous scramble and fight for power and territory extends beyond Ukraine. Historically, if you look at the times of the Soviet Union, you know, we had a lot of nationalities under the Soviet Union, including Armenian, Uzbek, Georgian, etc. And I think with Ukraine, it was probably the closest ties and relationships in terms of this idea of shared history. Mm-hmm. But of course, there's always been a lot of resistance to that. So I think one thing that might be missed by people living in the West, in Western Europe, as well as the United States, is that Russia is a colonial power. And when we think of colonialization, it's very much in terms of Western Europe colonizing parts of Africa or the Middle East, or even the United States as an empire in having an influence over Central and South America. And so I think this piece of history in this context gets overlooked, that Russia is also a colonial power which subjugated a lot of countries in the former Soviet Union. This includes, you know, nuclear tests in places like Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, people who are from Central Asia who, on a racial and ethnic hierarchy under the Soviet Union, were considered less than what a Slav might be considered, which had huge ramifications. You know, there was a whole generation of people born with deformities because of radiation from those bombs and testing. And with Ukraine, there was also what is called Holodomor, or a genocide in Ukraine in the 1930s under Stalin, where even though Ukraine produced a lot of the food, it was all exported to Russia. So a systematic starvation of Ukrainian people.
That's very concerning to hear. So given this current situation in Ukraine, what do you think could be the end result? Where are we going with this war, in your opinion?
Well, you know, Putin anticipated that Kyiv would fall within 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now more than a year later with a combination of factors.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, global support has been incredibly instrumental to ensure that Ukraine has the weapons to defend itself. A lot of people may refer to this as a conflict, but I think what's very clear is it's not a conflict. It's an unprovoked act of aggression. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is, you know, they're not really conforming to the rules of war by targeting regular citizens rather than soldiers. We've seen schools, hospitals, maternity wards, and places with a lot of civilian infrastructure bombed. So they're not sticking to strategic targets, which has also, I think, been incredibly difficult to witness and to experience, which is also why world support has been so incredibly instrumental. But what I think people underestimated is because Ukraine has a history of resistance, a history of fighting, their will is so incredibly strong that there is no way out of this war other than a Ukrainian victory, because Ukrainian people won't accept anything less. And I think we saw that as well with, you know, there's 30% women who make up the Ukrainian Defense Forces. Mm-hmm. And what we also saw is it wasn't just soldiers fighting. It was a lot of people from all walks of life, professions, who improvised whatever they had to resist Russian occupiers. You know, we've had a lot of people, while we hear about refugees going abroad, specifically women and children, there's also been a mass return to Ukraine from people living abroad in the hundreds of thousands to come back and fight to defend their country.
Impressive. Oh, thank you for that highlight. So going back to the situation again in Ukraine, can you briefly narrate to our listeners how the war has impacted lives in Ukraine?
Well, it's one of the largest refugee crises of modern times, comparable to that of Syria, but in a shorter time span. So even in Oregon alone, we have resettled close to 4,000 Ukrainian refugees and parolees in the last year alone. There's a large community here. I think there's also people who don't want to leave or who can't leave. So in countries to the east, and particularly on the front line, Kharkiv, which is very easy to target by Russian forces, you know, there's people still in Kharkiv trying to do their best to live life as normal in spite of daily air raids. Many people have been using old metro stations as bomb shelters, particularly in Kyiv. They're very deep underground. So in the month of May in particular, there was a missile strike every single day in the capital, Kyiv. So it makes it very difficult, of course, to go on about your daily life. But there's also a big difference in terms of which part of the country you are. So we've seen cities on the eastern side, such as Bakhmut, completely obliterated. Bakhmut, one of the strongest cities of ongoing continuous fighting, as well as Mariupol, which has been completely destroyed, a city that was almost 500,000 people. Mm. But there are people that choose to stay both in some of these cities and villagers because they either don't have the means to leave, they don't have the way to leave. And so they're living under pretty terrible conditions with no electricity, no gas. A lot of them are able to survive based on humanitarian support. In particular, people like the elderly, seniors, or people with disabilities for whom mm-hmm. it's much harder to relocate mm-hmm. Are really relying on either humanitarian organizations within Ukraine and kind of mutual aid support, particularly for basic necessities like food. So it's a very difficult situation. And in addition to that, on June 6th, the Kakhova dam and hydro plant was bombed, which completely flooded Kherson and the Dnieper River, as well as parts going down to Odessa and the Black Sea, which has had catastrophic effects. You know, and Russia wasn't condemned by the international community for that horrific act, which not only affected people, but also affected a lot of animals who have been either killed or displaced. So it's a huge ecological as well as humanitarian disaster. And the United Nations, the Red Cross have been completely absent. None of them are on the ground. All the anti-flood and evacuation efforts have been with organizations from within Ukraine. In fact, the day after the flood, the United Nations proclaimed Russian Language Day.
Oh. So sorry to hear that. So I just was curious on two aspects as well. While you spoke, you talked about Ukraine being one of the largest wheat producers in the world. So with the current situation going on, is the wheat production stopped because of the war? Or?
Yes. So if you look at sort of the world community, the people and countries who have been most supportive and most vocal critics of what Russia is doing are either countries in Eastern Europe or those formerly occupied by Russia, countries like Latvia, Poland, Estonia, Lithuania, all of whom were part of the former Soviet Union, who got their independence in 91 and 92. Mm-hmm. We've also seen countries like India and a lot of other African countries that depend on their relationship with Russia be neutral in this war. And unfortunately, again, because Ukraine is a huge wheat supplier, this has also affected other countries, mm-hmm. Particularly African countries that have had this wheat importation reduced to huge amounts. So things like the bombing of this dam mm-hmm. also has an impact, as well as Russia blocking several key ports and ports of exportation. So this war, the effects are not limited to what's happening in Ukraine mm-hmm. because of this particular issue. So when we combine that with the high cost of inflation, it has a huge impact on the rise of hunger in other countries.
Oh, that's very interesting and good to know as well. So what's your special message to the boots on the ground, to those at the front in Ukraine?
Well, I think that after more than a year of war and mm-hmm. continuing to experience horrific acts of aggression in times of terror, Ukraine continues to stay strong, mm-hmm. defiant, and, you know, people trying to find joy in whatever pieces of life they can, people creating incredible art and music and sharing who Ukraine is a nation with the world to continue garner support.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do we have people inside the country fighting for our defense, mm-hmm. I think we have a lot of ambassadors out in the rest of the world to help educate the global community about who we are, our culture, our history, our language. I think that due to the Cold War and after,
mm-hmm.
Ukraine has always been seen through the lens of Russia rather than its own independent state. So even though this has brought an enormous amount of tragedy,
mm-hmm.
it has also helped educate people that Ukraine is its own independent, unique, and incredibly strong nation. Oh. So I, as far as message, I know that our people will never give up, no matter what it takes.
Thank you so much, Maria, for that message of hope to those fighting on the ground in Ukraine. We will now take a break from our interview and we'll play a song called Stefania by Kalush Orchestra.
Мамо, мамо, Стефанія, розквітає поле, а вона сивіє. Заспівай мені, мамо, колискову, хочу ще почути твоє рідне слово.
Вона мене колисала, дала мені ритм, і напевне сило волі не забрати мене, бо дала вона, напевне знала, може більше і від сола. Вона ломаними дорогами прийду я завжди до тебе, вона не розбудить, не будить. Мене в сині бурі забере бабулі, ніби вони кулі, дуже добре знала мене, не була обманута, як було дуже втомлена, гойдала мене так.
Song Stefania by Kalush Orchestra. I understand this song is very popular in Ukraine, Maria. Would you care to explain why this song is so popular?
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you, TK. So Kalush Orchestra, Kalush is from the founder's hometown, and this song, Stefania, is the name of his mother. So this particular song is an ode to the mother, and a few days after the song was selected to represent Ukraine in Eurovision is when Russia invaded. So this song became very important symbolically to talk about resistance, and in particular the role and value of women, and children. So this video, the video to this song was filmed in Bucha and Irpin, which are on the suburbs of Kiev. And at the time what was discovered, when Russian forces occupied these areas, when they evacuated and the Ukrainian army drove them back, it was pretty horrific what was discovered. There were mass graves of civilians, people with their hands tied and shot in their backs. So when the Ukrainian army came to free these areas, what was found was incredibly horrific. And in fact, what happened in Bucha and Irpin has been documented and is being investigated as evidences of war crimes. Women were sexually assaulted under the occupiers, and again, people who were not soldiers were killed indiscriminately. So in this video that was that were filmed in these areas, it also showed images of women soldiers freeing children from burning buildings and returning them to their mothers. So again, this has a lot of symbolism, right, in terms of timing. And the band itself, you can see, combines rap with traditional Ukrainian instruments and folklore. And one thing that can be seen, if you look at the way, even during the Eurovision performance, the way that these band members are dressed, they're wearing a traditional hutsul keptar, which is kind of a fur vest, traditional of an ethnic group in Ukraine coming from the Carpathian Mountains. And a lot of the colors are black and red. So red symbolizes love and fertility in many ways, but it also represents blood and sadness. And black in particular represents the soil. So because of what I mentioned earlier, Ukrainians have a very deep sense of belonging to the earth which is described as this black soil. So they have a very close relationship to the land itself. And so what's really interesting about this particular band is that they take elements and inspiration from our ancestors, from important folklore, and they combine it with these new elements. So it's taking a look back and also trying to look to the future.
Wow, that was a very powerful explanation, Maria. Thank you for highlighting that sad story. I would say it's a dark cloud with a silver lining at the end where the kids are rescued, but there's a lot of trauma behind this story. Very sad. Thank you for bringing that up. Now, let's switch gears and move back to the ordinary life in Ukraine on a random day. If the war was aside on an ordinary day in Ukraine, what would people really enjoy doing on ordinary days of life?
Well, Ukraine is a really diverse country, so with a diverse landscape. So I just mentioned to you the Carpathian Mountains. You know, we have modern cities like Kyiv and Lviv and Odessa, which is on the Black Sea. So, and we also have life in the villages. Right, so I think it varies depending on what part of the region you're from. But there's a really deep culinary, historical, artistic, thriving European country. So I think post-independence in 91, there's a strong desire to be more aligned to the West and to go in the direction of Europe, a free democracy, right? And at the same time, you have this conflict of, I think, Russia continuing to want Ukraine to pull it in its sphere of influence. And we saw that with the Maidan Revolution, when Russian-backed presidential candidate won what was considered to be a false election, and people went out to the streets to protest and to make their voice heard of exactly where they stand and who they wanted to represent them. So there is a much freer element of civil society in Ukraine than there is in Russia. But I think what's important is, again, people retain a sense of hope and a sense of humor,
mm-hmm.
and are continuing to produce incredible music and art throughout this time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Kyiv myself, so it's, I think, a really beautiful city. It's on the Dnieper River. It's incredibly green. In fact, parts of Portland, I think, remind me of Kyiv sometimes in terms of mm-hmm. how green it is. Kyiv is known for its chestnut trees that bloom in spring. So it's a really beautiful place to be. Lots of parks, museums, artistic centers. And it's a city and country that I think combines a lot of history and connection to their ancestors, as well as being modern, looking to the future.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of startup companies in Kyiv, a lot of innovative ideas that are coming from Ukraine.
Well, that's very interesting information. Actually, it encourages to hear that kind of lifestyle and the environment with the, all those aesthetics you mentioned, the beauty behind cities like Kyiv. And then you compare that with the war situation right now. Everybody would hope for the war to come to an end so people can get on with their lives and resume their regular lifestyles of happiness and joy. So talking about Ukraine again, what's the population size estimates right now?
It's about 50 million, a little under that.
Great. And what main languages are spoken in Ukraine?
So Ukrainian mm-hmm. is its own language. Russian has been a second language. Russian was the first
uh-huh.
official language under the Soviet Union,
right.
as it was in most Soviet republics.
Mm-hmm.
But since independence, I think there's been a movement to make Ukraine the main language.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now this is with the war. I think a lot of Ukrainians no longer want to speak Russian whatsoever.
Uh-huh. So it's a matter of trying to separate themselves and declare their independence from Russian dominance, correct?
Yes, but okay. it's complicated. It's a complicated history. So
uh-huh.
people in the east in particular that are coming from the border regions like Kharkiv, from which there are a lot of refugees,
uh-huh.
their main language has been Russian. Odessa, the main language is Russian. But there is this big sentiment right now among a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
that Russian is the language of trauma and aggression. And so it's a complicated, nuanced situation. For me, I grew up in Kyiv during the Soviet Union, and
mm-hmm.
Russian was my first language.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of people that for whom this language is painful now.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine. So is there a huge difference between Ukrainian and Russian languages in terms of alphabet and how it's spoken?
There is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also different dialects.
Yeah.
So Ukrainian and Russian share about 40% lexicon. So Ukrainian is actually closer to a language like Polish, with mm-hmm. which they share about 60%.
Mm. Wow. So back to other lifestyle and life patterns in Ukraine. So when people are celebrating in Ukraine, say it's a wedding, or it's a graduation ceremony, or it's a big party, what are the qualities of celebration styles you would find? Can you please describe how people celebrate in Ukraine? What's their culture like?
Well, food plays, as in many cultures, plays
uh-huh.
a really important role.
Mm-hmm.
So our main dish, which has actually been, I think, UNESCO World Heritage status, which is borscht, which is a beet soup. So
uh-huh.
Because of harsh winter conditions, we do have a lot of preserved food for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But Ukraine is really bountiful in the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
So incredible food. And I think I would even call it a cult around bread, in particular black bread, which
right.
is known as Ukrainian. Amazing dairy products, everything from cheeses to sour creams, amazing fruit, sour cherries.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we also have a lot of dumplings, both savory and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite are sweet dumplings with blueberries or sour cherries, often eaten with sour cream. Mm-hmm. So the culinary history is incredibly rich and diverse and does share a lot in common with its neighbors.
Mm.
So food, dance, music, laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing is another important element. I'm sure many of you have seen the hapak, which was falsely identified with Russia. It's in fact a Ukrainian dance with really complex footwork and a lot of acrobatics, particularly from male dancers.
Wow.
So you may have seen, you know, where they sit down and do kicks. That's actually a Ukrainian dance called hapak. It's been mistakenly referred to as Russian dance.
Mm-hmm. Good to know that. Thank you so much for bringing those highlights again. We're going to play our third song. It's called
Ridni Moi, or My Dear Ones.
Okay. Do you care to explain what it is about before we play the song?
Absolutely. So this is a song lamenting not being able to be with loved ones. It's referring specifically to a time of Easter, which is a big holiday, Orthodox holiday in Ukraine. Not being able to be with your loved ones and kind of keeping hope alive that things are going to get better. One of the, I think, saddest parts in the song is noticing that around the family table, more and more spots are empty. So, of course, that's referring to the ongoing situation. Alyona is a Ukrainian rapper, a Ukrainian female rapper. And then we also have Jerry Hale, who's another modern singer who sings exclusively in Ukrainian and uses a lot of Ukrainian folklore in her singing. So this is a collaboration between the two. And the song says, please let me be home by Easter to be with my dear ones, the ones who truly know me, the ones with whom I can be myself without a mask. And
how sweet is that? All right, here's the song, Alyona and Jerry Hill, Ridni Moi. Thank you, Maria.
Будь ласка, відпустіть на Пасху до сім'ї, де мене знають без маски, на зорі, де читала баба казки, де в ціні любов, а не заслуги і поразки. Будь ласка, відпустіть на Пасху до сім'ї, де мене знають без маски, на зорі, де читала баба казки, де в ціні любов, а не заслуги і поразки. Знаю, чекаєте в гості. Я вам обіцяла весною, очима моргнула, а вже руда осінь. Рідні мої, я бачу, як гуще коло. Тепер уже менше стільців стоїть біля столу святкового. Рідні мої, розмови до пізньої ночі. Печі закипатиме горші, і свічка світитиме в очі. Рідні мої, іконами і зрушниками. Коли зустрічали, тепер проводжають усіх, хто більше не з нами. Будь ласка, відпустіть на Пасху до сім'ї, де мене знають без маски, на зорі, де читала баба казки, де в ціні любов, а не заслуги і поразки. Будь ласка, відпустіть на Пасху до сім'ї, де мене знають без маски, на зорі, де читала баба казки, де в ціні любов, а не заслуги і поразки. Рідні мої, куди розлітаєте стрімко? Хай птахи летять і гнізда, а то ж ваші стіни, то ваша стріха. Рідні мої, збуде не гавка собака, і котик на ганку уже не мурчить, щоб діти навколо не плакали. Рідні мої, чому ваші коси сивіють? Я знаю, як дати нове життя, старе ж повертати не вмію. Рідні мої, я хочу вам пообіцяти, що я берегтиму традиції цієї сім'ї. Будь ласка, відпустіть на Пасху до сім'ї, де мене знають без маски, на зорі, де читала баба казки, де в ціні любов, а не заслуги і поразки. Будь ласка.
Well, that was Alyona and Jerry Hale, Ridni Moi, musicians from Ukraine. So, get back to our conversation, Maria. Thank you so much for the highlights so far. Going back to Ukraine on this Global Sales Show, I wanted to find some explanation a little bit about, besides wheat, what other products should we expect from Ukraine?
So it's also one of the largest exporters of sunflower oil. In fact, Ukrainians' national flower is the sunflower. As well as other food products. So it's a lot of agrarian land, a lot of farmland. And as I mentioned before, a very strong relationship with the earth, with the land itself. So it's an incredibly important global food producer.
Oh, wow. That's so impressive. So all that industry and production has been stalled because of the war?
Yes, because as you can imagine, it's really difficult for people to maintain daily operations under shelling, which is why I think it's important for people to understand that this situation doesn't only affect Ukraine. In addition to that, Russia has occupied important key ports and prevented exportation, which is also causing to exacerbate the global food crisis.
I can imagine. For those just joining us, my name is TK Kaparan. I'm your host tonight on this Global Sales Show. I cover immigrant and refugee experiences from across the world. And this evening, I'm excited to have this conversation with Maria Klimenko, who is sharing experiences from Ukraine and also trying to shed some highlight about the current situation regarding the war in Ukraine. So far, we've covered a number of aspects regarding why the war is going on and the injustices or injustifications behind this war. She has also shared about the culture in Ukraine and the foods and celebrations in Ukraine. So we're going to move on to other more interesting topics as well. Want to talk a little bit more about Maria's personal history. Do you mind sharing with the audience your background, Maria?
Not at all. I came here with my mom in 1994 at the age of 10. We came as Jewish refugees under the Soviet Union. Jewishness was considered your race or your ethnicity. It wasn't considered a religion like it is here. And so on all your official documentation, your race or your ethnicity would be written down. So rather than Ukrainian, it would say Jewish. And you needed all these documents to things like apply for university or apply for jobs. And so at the time, there was a lot of anti-Semitism. So one particular example, during an Easter celebration, our house was marked with a Nazi symbol and vandalized. And so it took, you know, from birth, from the time that I was born, to actually be granted refugee status. I think people don't realize how difficult it is. And Ukraine is one of the few countries that allows you to apply for refugee status within your country. We know that with a lot of other refugees, you have to be in a second country of origin to be granted refugee status. In many cases, this means refugee camps. And so when you look at the Ukrainian population here, most of them are primarily religious or ethnic refugees. I think since then, things have changed a lot, and we can see that in our current president, Volodymyr Zelensky, who's openly Jewish, whereas I think under Soviet Union times, that would have been much more difficult. So there's actually a lot of Jews and a lot of Muslims in Ukraine, in addition to Orthodox and other Christian religions.
Oh, thank you for sharing that part, Maria. So when you moved over to the USA, what were your early experiences like in terms of culture and just getting acclimatized to the US situation?
Well, it was really difficult. I mean, I came from a capital city, so to come to Portland of 20, 30 years ago was very different. It felt like it didn't feel like a city, like a big city. And I think people definitely didn't know, didn't have any clue where Ukraine was on the map. So they only knew about Russia. So again, we had to kind of explain who we were. I think there's, due to Cold War and other reasons, the way that Eastern Europe is generally portrayed in media or the news, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about who we are. I think a misconception that, for one thing, we're very cold people, which I think is not true. So there were a lot of challenging things. And I think also at the time, Ukraine was considered, a third world country or a developing country. And so I think there were a lot of misconceptions about our education or the way we lived. I got questions like, did you have wolves in your town? Or did you have refrigerators? Or this idea that it's always cold and it always snows, right? Thinking about maybe confusing it with Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
So those were some of the challenges that I remember.
Oh, thank you, Maria. So in terms of foods, what are the most popular dishes in Ukraine?
So I already mentioned one important one, which is borscht, which is just an incredibly culturally significant food.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of fish from the river, fish from the Black Sea, lots of things with dough. So think about something similar like empanadas. So dough baked with different types of filling, from potatoes and mushrooms to mm-hmm. meat, boiled dumplings, which I mentioned as well, stuffed cabbage, holubtsi. We have this really beautiful Easter bread, desserts, and coffee culture. I think one of the things that might not be known is it was actually Ukraine that inspired coffee culture, like we see in Austria, in cafes, before it was popularized in Austria and other European countries. Not coffee making itself, but these cafes where you would go to enjoy coffee is actually Ukrainian in origin. And even today in Kyiv and Lviv, you can find quite a high number per capita of these coffee cafes.
Oh, wow. That's quite interesting to hear. So would you find any Starbucks in Kyiv today?
You would, like you might in places like Italy or France.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this other coffee culture still persists.
Mm-hmm. Now let's switch to religion. Can you describe the religious organizations or the religious culture in Ukraine?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, it's primarily Christian Orthodox, mm-hmm. which is a lot of the emblematic churches that you see, which are incredibly beautiful and incredibly beautiful places to visit, even if you're not religious.
Mm-hmm.
From an architectural point of view and just the beauty that you see inside.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a sizable Jewish as well as Muslim population.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in some of the images that we've seen come out from the war,
mm-hmm.
are people praying side by side of different faiths. And so, you know, Ukraine is not a perfect country by any means. But I think there are a lot of more progressive ideas compared to its neighbors,
mm-hmm.
Including more tolerance for things like same-sex marriage,
uh-huh.
and open pride celebrations, which I think are very different than what we faced under the Soviet Union,
mm-hmm.
and different than what's considered acceptable in a lot of its neighboring countries. And so there's an element of religion.
Yes.
And also when we look at religious refugees here, I think there's more conservatism than you might find within the country itself.
Oh, thank you so much, Maria. These are great highlights about Ukraine. I'm sure a lot of our listeners right now are enjoying this show based on what you are feeding them. This is good information. It's a real sale to Ukraine, and I appreciate you for sharing these highlights. Would you care to introduce this next song?
Sure. This is a band called Daka Braka, which in the old Ukrainian language means to give and take. Mm-hmm. So it uses a lot of traditional Ukrainian music and also takes elements from different world music as well. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this band is coming for the second time to Portland. They're going to be playing at Revolution Hall mm-hmm. in August. So if you're interested and you like their sound, I recommend you check them out because you can have an opportunity to see them live.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you for sharing that information. Here's the song.
And Vesna means spring.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that piece, Maria. This was
Daka Braka Vesna. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So before we conclude our show, what's your special message to America? What do you want America to know about you or to feel about your conversations?
I just want to say that although Ukraine is now less and less in the news, the war continues to be as devastating as ever, and we really need your continuous ongoing support, awareness, and making sure that you continue to keep in Ukraine in your thoughts and in your hearts and continue to support us, because without this support there can't be a victory.
Thank you so much, Maria, for that epic conversation on Kebu station. Thank you again for making our listeners get informed about the situation in Ukraine. I hope we have more conversations in the times to come. So I want to thank you, listeners, for working with us and taking this global sail to Ukraine this evening. So before I head out, I just wanted to say thank you again for listening all the way for the last hour. And before I go, we have our last song from Ukraine.
This is by the band Yagadu from Lviv, called Oy Nayaru.
All right, so we say adios, and in Ukraine we would say
До побачення.
До побачення. Thank you very much. See you again in August.
Мужицького жінка. проблемі він ночу. Hey,
is in broadcasting mass entertainment. Probably one of the best ways to get started is to make it a hobby and build an amateur station. It will show you more quickly than anything else whether or not you can succeed in radio.
KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is conducting a survey, and we want to hear from you. Your valuable feedback about KBOO will help shape the types of music, news, and public affairs programming we bring you and our community in the years ahead. We're also interested in how you listen to KBOO, and we'll use this feedback to help serve you better. The survey is anonymous. However, you will have an opportunity to provide your contact information to enter a drawing. 10 lucky winners will receive